Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, the Bills running away now.
You're listening to the best of the Bills.
Touchdown, the first play from scrimmage.
A weekly mix of WGR 550's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Bills Live on a Thursday. We'll have some comments from the practice field after practice when they go to the post-practice podium later on in the show. Also have Thurman Thomas, the Hall of Famer, coming up in the second hour of the program. But back to the phones we go, and as promised, to Bob in Syracuse. What's up, Bob?
Hey, great to talk to you guys again. Just wanted to make a couple quick comments. You know, I see a lot. There's a lot of criticism about our defense, our secondary. But when you look at the entire NFL, we all know this, that, teams are going to have their weaknesses, right? I mean, there's no more complete NFL teams anymore in this day and age. The closest we have probably is Detroit and Philly. Besides that, everyone has their weaknesses, especially in the AFC. And all those games that Kansas City won were similar to the game that was played on Sunday night with us. We happened to lose that game. They won those games, but that doesn't really matter. But my point is, we did address the cornerback position, especially considering we needed speed, right? Maxwell Harrison has that, those intangibles that we needed to be able to correct some of the issues we had in the secondary last year. I would have liked to see them go a little bit earlier with another corner potentially or safety instead of Landon Jackson, but that's hearsay, or I mean, that's, you know, it's easy to criticize now, but at the end of the day, I have to tell you, and I honestly believe this, that this season, especially the secondary, is going to come down to whether or not Harrison can play and how effective he's going to be. Just like you said, there is no time to be able to plug in a super talented corner to this secondary, but we cannot continue down this road to have that soft coverage. We're just going to get killed. But I believe that Harrison will be in full force and back on the field against Miami. And do you want me to tell you how I know that?
How do you know that?
Because when I was at the game Sunday night, and, you know, of course I don't want to overstep my any intel that I may have, but I did run into, Maxwell's entire family, and they did speak to his dad. And I asked him, I looked him right in the eye. I said, "When is your boy coming back?" He said, he looked right at me without any hesitation. He said, "Week 10.
Okay. So. Okay. I'll listen to that. That sounds great.
And I'll sign up for it too.
I'll sign up for it. That's one of the reasons I think nobody's panicking. It sounds like we're all nervouses over here, you know, on our show with the callers and stuff about the cornerback position and the defense. And let's not forget, you know, they're winning the way their recipe for winning with Tre'Davious on the field, with all these injuries, with Ed Oliver only playing one game, all of this stuff going on. They're still 4-1. They've got a pretty good roster that can make up for the deficiencies that they're experiencing. It's not going to look perfect, but it's going to be – they're still a tough team to beat. The Patriots will tell you how tough they are to beat. In fact, I don't know if the Patriots are walking out of saying we beat them, but we got the win. You know what I mean? And if so, the Bills certainly are going to have to protect the football, and I don't think it's going to look like the Bills are shifting gears and running off and leaving people. It's going to look a little herky jerky until they get all their guys healthy.
Yeah,
but I still think they're going to win a ton of games coming up.
Yeah. So the Week 10 game, you know, against Miami is 5 weeks away, a little less than 5 weeks away. So we'll see if it holds to that. Let's go to Steve in Alabama. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Chris. How's Steve? How are you guys doing? It's been a while. I'm an old-time One Bills Live. Go back to the Murph days.
Okay.
And I used to go down and still go down to the Senior Bowl. Used to meet Murph down there every year and all. And so and Steve got a chance to meet you in New Orleans. We were going to see Flutie play, and Rob Johnson wound up starting that game, okay, if you remember.
Turn back the clock.
There you go.
Yes. And Steve was cutting himself a little slack on being a receiver. I remember the Miami game that had the whole game plan evolved around Steve with the end-around play and all that. I'm sure you remember that. You look like Julian Edelman and Wes Walker before those days. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I just wanted to say I'm actually bringing my granddaughter up for her birthday to Atlanta Monday, and looking forward to seeing you guys. And glad we hopefully got the clunker out of the way, and hope we're going to have a victory in Atlanta for this birthday. So we're looking forward to seeing you guys.
Okay. Well, look forward to seeing you too, Steve, and safe travels on the trip. We're kind of hoping the Bills get back on track, obviously. Not going to be an easy environment. Probably important to take the crowd out of it early, because Falcons fans generally are a front-running crowd when their teams are out in front and doing well.
And it's going to be their first primetime game in a minute.
Well, they played Sunday night on the road
already
against Minnesota.
Year?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Against Minnesota.
Oh, that's right, on the road. That's right.
Yeah.
Well,
they've got one, and this will be number two.
Might be a raucous crowd.
I think it will be.
I think so, too.
At least at the start. But, you know, you march down the field, you put up some points.
Quiet them down.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That could happen. So, you know, make of it what
you
will.
The Bills need to get back on the turnover bandwagon and churn out a couple of those. Those are always help.
I just know there are a lot of Western New York transplants that live in the greater Atlanta area.
I got mine.
And I am expecting
I've got family.
A full-blown takeover, but you're going to notice.
We've got family down
red,
there.
Red, white, and blue.
We've got family down there. They're Atlantans. They've been there for a couple of days. So all mine are going down to visit them and going to the game.
Yeah,
so, it's
going to happen.
It's a thing. It's an you can't go anywhere without going through Atlanta anyway, right? If everybody's traveled out of Buffalo, you go through Atlanta anyway. It's an easy flight.
Mm-hmm. Direct.
Well, people are going to, yeah.
Thanks to our good friends at Delta.
Thanks to our good friends at Delta.
The game sponsor.
Even if you don't like traveling, you can like flying to Atlanta on Delta. There you go. Let me just plug him a plug. If you'd listened to the show yesterday, you heard my rant about travel. But, yeah, that's at this point in history, Bills Mafia travels extremely well. So you'll see him. You'll see him.
So I will officially say this week's game at the Falcons is presented by Delta. From takeoff to touchdown, they are the official airline of the Buffalo Bills. Because we charter with those fine folks as well.
Oh, they've done that in my entire career as well. It was Delta,
mm-hmm.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Is there something that you heard from Coach McDermott today that kind of made you pause for a second? I mean, he obviously has a lot of respect for Bijan Robinson and his abilities as a runner and a receiver, because – in case you didn't know, Bijan Robinson is the leading receiver on the Falcons, as well as the leading rusher.
Yeah, I think they're going to triple team that dude. I think
I don't
put
well
a blanket over him.
I don't know if they can afford to though. With that much attention, that's a lot.
Make him beat you left-handed, man. You got to make him beat you left-handed. I know they've got some scary athletes and some scary weapons out there, but you take the top guy off, and you're forcing a quarterback now to make different decisions. He may miss on one or two, and that's all you need.
He's been a little up and down.
That's all you need. You take the main dude.
Hasn't played 16 games yet.
How many? I mean, we know that from watching the NFL for as long as we have. If you chop off the top, they got to beat you with what's left. It's not easy.
Yeah, and their defense is hard to figure out too. Again, there's talent there. But then you look at some of the point totals they've given up. I mean, they gave up 30 points to the Carolina Panthers. How does that happen?
That's a really good question.
Especially a division team. You know, we talk all the time about division games being tight, usually one score games. 30 to nothing? Like,
exactly. That's.
Did you have guys disguised in your uniforms and you guys didn't make the trip? Like, what's. What is that?
I don't know how that happened.
30 to nothing?
I got to go back and watch that game.
I do too. I'm watching.
Now that you mentioned it, we've been talking. We've mentioned it. I mean, they won 30 to nothing, you know, a week after.
No, they lost 30 to nothing.
They lost. That's right. They lost 30 to nothing a week after they won 22 to 6. They beat a team by double. Minnesota, a good team.
Right. But
on the road.
McCarthy got hurt in that game, left, I want to say, in the third quarter, and it all went to hell in a handbasket there pretty quick.
I mean, they're riding the roller coaster.
They are. They've won, they've lost, they've won, they've lost. So they've traded wins and losses in each of their first four games. Now they're coming off the bye here. Logic would say with an extra week to self-scout and come up with extra plans, maybe a few extra wrinkles for your offense and defense. But there's also the chance it could be a little rusty. So,
yeah.
Which I would welcome.
It used to be as well back in my day when it was a little more of the Wild West. You always had some guys here that would take off. You know, you give them a couple of days off, they're out of town.
Yeah, they're AWOL.
They're gone. And you hope they show up on time for practice. You know what I'm saying?
Next week.
So. And when they show up, they're in bad shape. You know, they knocked off about 3 weeks of training, right? So it's – some of that goes on.
Yeah.
We'll see. Sometimes McDermott's been really good after the bye.
He's undefeated after the bye. He's 8-0.
But, you know, Raheem Morris isn't McDermott.
He is not. Yeah, I don't – how do you know what to expect from a team that's one lost, and been shut out? And what by a substandard team, like you don't know what you're going to get from these guys.
You really don't. I there are a lot of symptoms of a young football team in what you see in the Falcons.
A little immature.
They front run really well, but they don't close games out. It's all good when it goes well, but when it goes bad, they just
everybody puts their head down.
They pull the rip cord and that's it. You know, there's no, you know,
they
no
turn it off
back.
And say see you next week.
Exactly. It seems like that.
Yeah.
You know, you and I, we're a million miles away, but those are symptoms of young teams that are still trying to find their leadership and their voice. And a first-year head coach as well.
No, I think it's
– Raheem? Was he there last year?
I think it's second year.
Okay, second year.
Might even be – no, second year.
Yeah.
Because Arthur Smith was there
right.
2 years ago.
So that's – it's a symptom of a young team, and I think. And, you know, it's you kind of got to ride through those rough spots.
Yeah.
The Bills did it with Josh.
Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about this game is, at least for me historically, is the last time the Bills played down there, the Bills were the young, you know, team under new leadership and head coach Sean McDermott trying to build themselves into a relevant contending team. And they were facing a reigning league MVP and a team with Super Bowl aspirations, and they go in there and they upset him. Micah Hyde had an interception. Tre'Davious White had a 53-yard fumble return for a touchdown, and they beat the Falcons on the road. They're going down to that place 8 years later. The roles are reversed. The Falcons right. are the young team trying to prove they can be relevant and a contender in the NFC, and they're facing a defending league MVP and a team that's, you know, won and has Super Bowl aspirations.
Right.
So it's a complete reverse scenario for these two teams 8 years later. I found that interesting. So, I don't know. Those are the things I cling to sometimes.
Yeah, the Bills went down and they beat them 23-17. And I remember, too, what was a big part of that, just like it is now, turnovers in that game. You know, that's when Poyer and Hyde were like
yep.
all of a sudden it's like, wow, who are these guys?
I had a deep pick on a post route that he ran under. And like I said, Tre'Davious had that fumble return like right near midfield, scooped it up and went 53 yards for a touchdown. And they upset him.
Yeah.
That was the first year that stadium was open, too. I think that was the first season it was open for football.
You might be right.
Because it's about 8 years old. And I remember what a big deal it was with that. They have a ring ribbon board suspended from the ceiling. They don't have them mounted on the facade or the seating areas of the stadium. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty unique place. And as we know, they play a ton of college games there, too. That's why James Cook's going to feel right at home. He's played a fair share of games. SEC title games.
Wonder if he's been in this locker room.
Well, it depends if his team was home or visitor.
That's why I ask. I remember what it's like. You go into these buildings in different times, and the locker rooms are different. Some of them have like three locker rooms or four locker rooms, depending on what's going on. So
that'll
be interesting. Yeah, because familiarity's nice when you head into these places.
I think so. Got to take a break here. When we come back, we'll tell you who's heating up and what's cooling down. Our friends at T-Mark HVAC and Plumbing will help us with that when we return. Here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, it's Buffalo Bills Radio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
High slot with it, holds it, sends it to the net, bouncing puck, far post, they score. Lyon got a piece of it, but a reach around with the stick. And it's the Rangers who strike first, and again, a failed clear by the Sabres winds up in the back of the net.
It's your moments of the game, brought to you by Firth Jewelers for all the moments in your life. Go forth to Firth. Sabres fall 4-0. Good morning, it's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off today. It is also a Football Friday here on WGR, which is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, call the 8s, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's hometown fuel. Game day ready since 1922. If you've got a thought on the Sabres, you want to get in on last night's loss, maybe you're angry, maybe you were already checked out, and you want to get in, feel free at 803-0550. Bills and Falcons on Monday Night Football, and this is going to be a great jersey matchup. I think we got probably a Manning cast, I think, because there are two games. You also get Commanders and Bears that night. Thank you, NFL, for making the Bills-Falcons game the earlier of the two. You get a nice 7:15 kickoff, which you gotta love. So, this game on Monday, I saw a stat yesterday that I think will matter a lot going into this game, the way the Bills have looked, the things they have struggled at, the things that Atlanta are very good at, and we can make this improving the game plan. Brought to you by Blue Star Home Services, your heating and cooling experts ready to improve your home's comfort plan. Get started at BlueStarHS.com. The Bills have been a bad tackling team so far this season. Bad, bad tackling team. In fact, you know, you look at some of the best players in the league at force missed tackle rate, and who's number one? A guy that's played the Bills, Kendre Miller, did he break six tackles on the one touchdown run that he had? He did probably a lot of his damage right then and there. So he is number one in football in tackles avoided per carry, almost 40% rate. Number two in the league, to nobody's surprise, is Bijan Robinson, who the Bills will see on Monday. And if it's going to be another one of these, hey, this team's going to try to run on you games, how the Bills fare in that, they did just look pretty good doing it against New England. Like, New England, how they beat the Bills was not what they really set out to do at the outset. If you watched how the Patriots played the Bills in the first half of that game, they were lining up with a lot of I formation, a lot of fullback, a lot of two tight end sets, and they were trying to run the ball right at the Bills, and they really weren't having a ton of success doing that. It was only when they started to open things up with May and threw the ball to Diggs. I mean, Diggs got the first pass of the game, and then he didn't catch another pass until I think it was the fourth drive of that game between the Bills and the Patriots. So what was their original plan? I mean, they came out thinking they were going to run it all over the Bills. And how did that end? 22 carries for 71 yards. That was it. And Drake May led them in yards per carry in the game with 3 for 12. The other three running backs for New England, 6 for 24 for Henderson, 6 for 21 for Gibson, 7 for 14 for Stevenson. Like, the Bills had no problem stopping the run against New England. I think that's just more, though, of they can stop the run. I think when they want to stop the run, they're more able to do that. If they got to pick their poison, look at the Ravens last year in the playoff game. The Ravens were one of the top rushing attacks historically. And when the Bills decided we're going to sell out to stop Derrick Henry, they could do that. You're just going to be giving up giant Lamar Jackson plays. But if you need to take away the run game, you can do that. And they did that in that playoff game. They did that last week against New England. And I think that's what Monday's game plan looks like, is your plan. I mean, if Dorian Williams is ready to go, we'll see like what the three linebacker personnel would be. But they've been playing more base with three linebackers. I think that helps them stop the run. I think Shaq Thompson has had a really great start to the year. So if you want to line up that way and say, yeah, we're going to stop Bijan and we're going to make Michael Penix beat us. Last week, that happened. Drake May beat you. I don't think Michael Penix is as good as Drake May is. I don't think he's actually maybe even close to as good as Drake May is.
I agree with that. I think I'd feel more comfortable about essentially getting the same out of the defense that we got last week from the Bills.
Yep.
And feel confident enough that they're going to win that game, because you think that the offense isn't going to look how it looked last week. And I don't fear Michael Penix Jr. anywhere near as much as I fear Drake May.
No, not at all.
I just think that he's looked a lot shakier at times than May has.
Yeah, May,
and I'd like to see us, like, I'd like to see the him just like be forced to win it for his team.
He also is not mobile like May, so right. If you get quick pressure on him, like the Daquan Jones play where he comes right through and May's able to hold him off and throw a ball,
right.
Michael Penix isn't making that play.
No.
He's not making that play. No. He's not like non-athletic. Like, he's not a total statue, but he's pretty immobile for,
yeah,
you know, for a lot of guys that entered the league now. 24th in the league EPA per play is Penix. Drake May is 8th.
Yeah.
So you're getting a big difference between, sure, the two quarterbacks. I mean, the only, here are the quarterbacks below Penix on the year in EPA per play: Carson Wentz, Jake Browning, Aaron Rodgers, Bryce Young, Joe Flacco, Caleb Williams. Jeez. How about Caleb Williams being that low, yeah, by the way?
Crazy.
It's almost stunning, because I thought he was having a better year.
Rodgers being that low with the Steelers winning is interesting, too.
Yeah. So you're not playing as good of a quarterback. I think if you shut down Bijan, it's a lot to do.
Yeah, that's
a lot to do.
That's a big ask. I mean, Bijan is a freak. He's really special, and mm-hmm, he can make guys miss, and guys miss on this defense.
Yeah, like Bernard having a tough game is very much in sight.
Right.
He's, you know, downhill making tackles like that in space. Like, we'll see if he's able to pull that off, but I think that's what Atlanta probably does against the Bills. And I'm not saying that every time the Bills want to shut down the run, they can. But I do just see these examples that they're able to do it. And I think we just saw one a week ago.
And the other thing about that is you got to think, that with how young this defensive line is in spots, that it'll continue to sort of improve as the season progresses, in addition to the guys are going to get back. That's obviously not for this week, but going forward after this, you're going to have Hoyt and Ogunjobi, who are going to be nice factors to stop the run a little more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd hope just developmentally that your rookies in Walker and Sanders can continue to, you know, get their legs under them and,
yep,
and become more effective, consistent players, which is what I – it's why I have a little more faith in that defensive line being improved internally than I do about the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
The secondary, I think you're in trouble because it doesn't sound like they've got a lot of confidence in Hairston coming back and being effective. And where else are you looking there?
You need help from the outside.
Right.
Probably.
So,
yep.
That's where I'm at with that. Like, I think the line and the run defense is in a much more comfortable position for the team as they move forward than that secondary is.
803-0550 is the phone number. Get a quick Sabre call in here. 4-0 loss last night in the opener. Carl in Minnesota is first up. What's up, Carl?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I playing catch up online, so if you mentioned this already.
Nope, you're good.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
But, I heard you say right off the bat, made me call, you know, you and Jeremy were fooled in the offseason and believing in this team. But, I mean, doesn't the same argument apply that the Bills, you know, these guys really didn't play a full team together offseason in the preseason? This is really their very first game, and they don't even have the real team out there right now. What, are they missing like 6-7 guys? I think there's a little overreaction. And, you know, give them more than one game before you say you know you're a fool.
Well, let me just finish
and comment. And I will say this, you know, his hard camp seemed to have backfired because you got a lot of guys with, you know, like soft tissue injuries. So anyway,
yeah.
I just wanted to say, don't throw in the towel yet, okay, all right?
Yeah, thanks, Carl. I don't think we're throwing in the towel. I mean, yeah, I mean, maybe it sounds like I said we were fooled. I think what I said is you feel like you're fooled this morning after, which, you know, maybe you think that's the same thing. Because I'm not saying that it's over.
No.
I'm not going that hyperbolic about it. I understand that they still have a chance and it's only one game and they have a lot of injuries. They are missing, you know, how many guys you really want to say they're missing?
Benson and Power and Kessel Ring are big.
Yeah, so three?
I'd say three.
Three real guys. Impact players that you really could have used last night?
Right. I don't think you want to count UPL because you're not getting anything better from UPL in that game.
I was going to say, I would count UPL, but your goalie last night, like, your goalie wasn't the reason you lost that game.
It's a wash to me.
So, but I get the point. Like, sure, your second pair not being on the ice I do think is big.
That absolutely matters. And that's why I understand every, like,
But
Sabres fan deserves whatever they feel this morning.
But listen, like, sure, they're missing a couple of guys. They scored zero goals. A lot of the guys being asked to score for them this year are out there last night. Norris is out there. Tage is out there.
Tuck.
Kulik is out there. Tuck is out there. Yeah. Zucker is out there. Quinn is out there. Quinn was bad last night again. I mean, McLeod and Doan, if you want to go to them. Like, the guys that you're asking to carry a lot of the goal scoring this year were there.
Yeah.
The only guy for that you might have been missing is Benson. And I do think there is, of course, room for Benson makes Norris and Thompson's jobs easier, and that can create more goals. And that, of course, Power and Kesselring should
they
make it easier for, if they're out there with the Kulik, Zuck, Tucker line.
They're distributing the puck more effectively and getting up the ice. And like, there's absolutely a butterfly effect to be had from having a second pair that can really move the puck, which is what Power and Kesselring can do.
Right. Like, that Kulik line has more chances last night playing with Power and Kesselring than they do when they're out there with Bryson and Ryan Johnson.
100%.
I definitely acknowledge that. But these guys were out there, and there were some chances, and they didn't get them when they came, and whenever they got to the offensive zone, it was just a lot along the wall. So, yeah, no, I get the injury point, but it's not the things that they struggled with last night. Most of those guys are available,
right,
and you didn't get the goals. 803-0550 is the phone number. Thanks for the call, though, on the Sabres, even though they lost last night to 4-0. Sure, right. Like, it's not over. I did see the joke being made. Like, that was quick in the graphic of the Sabres have been eliminated from playoff contention. They've not been eliminated from playoff contention. Teams can have bad games. It's just a lot harder to give the benefit of the doubt when you have the history of this team and this GM and this a lot of these players. And yeah.
There's
tomorrow.
That's why I say every fan deserves however they feel this morning because of what this team's done and the history. I am encouraged by some of the things I saw last night. I'm not giving up on them. I still have a lot of hope for this season, but it was an ugly performance to start.
Go win in Boston tomorrow night.
Yeah.
That's a bad Boston team. Go beat Boston. 803-0550 is the phone number. Thursday night football last night. The thought on Jackson Dart when we come back. He's good. Yeah. We'll get to that when we come back here on WGR.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version. So then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water, just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker, and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mobile rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Hi there, Football Friday. Look who it is. Twitch, YouTube, look who it is.
Is that me?
You're dragging.
You're referring to me.
I'll say it.
You're referring to me.
I know just what to do.
you do know what just
I do. I think I do. You know just what to well, do. It would be two things, well, you've already decided on one of them.
You made coffee. I very rarely go in on the afternoon coffee, but I thought, you know.
You used to. You did before I did.
Yeah, I did. I did. Not regularly on this show, though. But yeah, you know, if I'm going out on a Friday night, I would almost always drink coffee all through the show.
I usually drink coffee in here every day.
Yeah.
Almost every day.
If I had this, I will pay for this later. I'm sacrificing my good night's rest, trying to jumpstart. Trying, maybe some would even say kickstart my heart. No, sorry.
See, I mean,
well, we didn't get to hear
it.
Are we
sure there is a goal song?
Would you like me to hum it for you if you don't know how it goes? Anyway, so coffee. You made coffee and I'm partaking, which is rare, but I needed it. So.
Is that a terrible choice for a goal song? What year is it?
I've never disliked the song, but it is so played out in arena, in the pantheon of arena songs. It
I
is
know, right?
Just, it's. I mean, it's...
We
it's,
couldn't get Cotton Eye Joe.
It's like you construct an arena, and it's in the top five of songs you know you're going to hear walking in the door the first time the arena opens. Like, I'm, during some stoppage in play, I'm going to hear Kickstart My Heart. I mean, I like the riff. I've liked the song.
I told you.
I didn't need it as a goal song.
I mean, it's awful as a goal song. I told you I would go completely counterculture if I were the Sabres this year. And so, you know, a goal song, I mean... Who's going to say no? It might be you, Stephen Bishop from Tootsie. I mean, that's let's just make it different. Well, it's not different yet this year.
No.
It's definitely not different.
No.
And we've got the big goal song poll, and they don't even get to play it.
You got the goal song poll. You reverted to form. I didn't even – I don't know. I mentioned that thing more than once because I was, you know, kind of – you know, trying to get Jer's thing home, the Swords of a Thousand Men or whatever. And I didn't know that just keeping the old song was even an option. And I don't know, whatever. Anyway. And yeah, Josh Norris is hurt. And so, I mean.
Don't ruin Football Friday.
Did you see the play?
Yes.
Did you see, like if that hurt any part of his body.
You'd be worried.
He was never going to make it through five games.
You'd be worried for his well-being.
70. Just nothing happened there, and he's broken. And I just, what a disaster. What a disaster.
That's why.
Not the season, but like him, you know, geez,
man.
That's why when I was feeling good about that trade when it happened, because it meant the Sabres actually did a thing, I had a friend in the league text me like, OMG, why? Like, well, what do you mean why? Like, Cousins wasn't playing well, and I, you know, this team kind of sits around all year, and he's like, nobody wanted this guy because of his injuries. Like, all right, well, what do I say back to that? I just kind of sit here and wait for him to play a full season, and it's like half of a game,
right,
and it's just over maybe already. I don't know. It's not over, but it's what a hilariously bad start.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope the food was good.
Me too.
Football Friday, anyway. The Bills don't play until Monday night. So I had two moves to get Bulldog like kind of back a little bit. You know, he's sick and he's tired and whatever else. And one was coffee, but I wasn't going to sort of just like pour coffee into his mouth. I mean, that just so that's up to you.
That's a step I needed to take on my own. Sure, yeah.
The other was, oh, guys, right? This has to work. If the coffee doesn't work to get him going, this has to work, right? Ready? Three words. Raheem Morris.
Oh, I was nervous.
Come on. Come on, know your role.
I was afraid you were going to do this.
Raheem Morris. Tell us why, just sort of get us going, why we should hate the Falcons coach. Raheem Morris. Does anybody hate Raheem Morris? Does anybody like Raheem Morris? People probably do. Is it more like than hate? Is he doing well? Is he good?
I don't.
What is it?
I don't know.
This is all for you, Raheem Morris.
Yeah, no, this boy. No, I don't know. I got very little on Raheem Morris.
Let's work this up. Let's make this work.
Was in Tampa before. Like, was he in Tampa?
Yeah.
When, like, post, in, after Bruce Arians and before this?
Yeah.
Like, so in between this job and the Tampa job, or
Falcons.
And the Falcons job, he had.
Right.
All right. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I'm doing great so far, aren't I? Yeah, I don't know.
This is his sixth year as an NFL head coach.
Right.
Tampa is before Brady.
Okay.
Tampa is
right. Oh, that's what I was trying to get. Yeah, I wasn't sure what his timeline was there. Was he interim on the Jets at one point? Do I have him? Am I mixing him up with someone else?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, then. So no. So yeah, he was in Tampa before they won a Super Bowl with Brady.
Right. Bowles, who is in Tampa now,
that's the Jet.
Was the defensive coordinator for Arians when they won it.
Okay.
And now he's doing well there.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so you're nowhere on Raheem Morris.
No, no.
Still a young guy.
Yeah. I mean, go get him. I've had my fun over the years with Atlanta. Because it's just it's a huge city. There's a lot of transients, transient means people are coming and going. Of course, any big city has that, but there's a lot of people that it's their adopted home. You know, they're not from Atlanta. So that's the genesis of like nobody even really likes the Falcons. They live there, so they root for the Falcons because they have an NFL team, but they don't live it. They're not living and dying with it. It's just sort of, you know, well, go team because we have a team kind of thing. But I like the quarterback, and I'm sort of pulling for it. I mean, not Monday night, but I want the quarterback thing to – I want it to work for Penix.
What do you think of the Bills being favored by 4.5?
I think it's a little weird. Maybe.
That it's not higher?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, Atlanta's been pretty uneven, I think. They've had, like, one really good game offensively, I think, so far.
The Washington game?
Yeah.
Okay. They also got shut out by Carolina.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. So, I think it's a little bit of a reaction to Sunday night, that the Bills looked vulnerable. Last Sunday night, I mean, you know, them losing the way they did to New England. I feel like the Bills against Atlanta... I never look at it way out in advance, but I don't know, maybe a touchdown, 6.5 or something. is more like it. So it's a win. It's one of those lines that I feel like you would look at when we're doing our picks segment, 6 o'clock coming up this Friday, and say, okay, like, I don't know. You made this point about a game last week. I don't remember which one. It was 4.5. Somebody, I don't remember what game. Was it Denver maybe?
Denver-Philly?
Yeah, right. Why isn't it bigger? It's Philly at home. It was that same number, 4.5.
That's right.
And that's what this game sort of feels like.
I guess we know that now.
Right.
Philadelphia.
This game feels that
Philadelphia
way.
Philadelphia is bad.
To me. Yeah.
I've been winning on that premise for a couple of weeks. Yeah, that, well, you don't always win this way. But sometimes the number, sort of, there are like red lights flashing. Why is it only this number? I think Detroit, Kansas City this week is this a little bit. We have Sam Panayotovich coming up. He's on the Lions at +2.5.
Me too.
Okay. Like, I don't want to be, but why isn't it 3? Mahomes at home? Like, why isn't it 3? Why isn't it 3 for the Chiefs at home against everybody? Right? Like, why is it only 2.5? So there's enough pressure on the Lions side for it to have not gotten to 3. I don't know. It's not just Sunday night, I think, with these Bills. I think it's the whole season. I mean, it's 5 games. Baltimore, they were lucky. I mean, they weren't terrible, but they were lucky. Jets, they were easily superior. The Jets are a joke.
Right.
Then you have the 3 games at home since Miami, New Orleans, New England. Bills, every time, big favorites. They cover none of those games, 0-3 against the spread, and they lose to the Patriots. I mean, this week has been interesting. I know you missed the last couple of days, but when I work alone, I want to make sure if I can do it, I've got something that I think you will want to respond to. Like, it's different than just, like, many of these days, sure, like today will be you and I having conversation. Mm-hmm. But when I'm alone, I want to make sure I've got something that I think listeners will respond to. And I sort of, like, hit the ball. It's going in the hole toward left field. By the time it reaches the left field grass, the outfield grass, everybody's on hold with what their problems are with the Bills. Like, it really was not... It really was a wasted effort,
right? You
on Wednesday.
You pretty much could have just said we're open.
Yeah, right. But I didn't. I hadn't assumed that
the lights are on. Yeah, I know.
I mean, I was just sort of thinking, like, you know, we've had a couple of days here to talk since Sunday night, and I mean, I heard everything from the wide receiver thing that never goes away to the secondary that's prominent, injuries, coaching, all of it. So fans were ready all week to tell you, because the Bills lost a game, so now it's okay.
Right, all the concerns you had, the feeling you had early fourth quarter against Miami and maybe against New Orleans gets validated by a loss. And so now, if maybe you were one of the people that called us one of those weeks, even though you knew you were maybe going to get, you know, I don't know, going to quite laughed at, but like, you know, what are we doing here exactly? I'm over here going, we're not going to make it to January, right? We're going to start eating one another because we're bored or whatever. The loss gives that validation. So, and, you know, anyone, and no matter what you're thinking out there, getting it validated in some way is good. It feels good. So, I mean, I think a game where they just look like the better team and it's not debatable would go a long ways. And I don't know if this matchup is good for that. You know, I mean, there's a lot of talent skill position wise on that Atlanta team. I mean, I like the quarterback maybe more than most people, but he can make a lot of throws. I think that secondary will be taken out for a spin on Monday night. Robinson's elite. Drake London's great. Pitts is talented. He never really seems to manifest itself in big games, but whatever. And, you know, defensively, they've got a couple of young guys that come off the edge, and I think it's a good test. I thought it when the schedule came out. There was a time where I would have looked at that Atlanta game as once you got past Baltimore, Atlanta was the next hard game. Mm-hmm. You know, that, you know, I was overlooking New England in that way, and so shame on me. They lost to New England. But this game has always sort of looked to me like it's going to be harder than a lot of people think type of game, because you just don't – you know, probably don't respect Atlanta a lot. They're often not that good. But I think they're –
They're never good.
I think they're talented. So
– Listen to me. Yeah. It's interesting. You know, the Bills have almost really no important history with the Falcons. So there's no game where, like so many other games, you have this you can draw on. We talk about the Ravens, not even in the Bills division, but like, oh, well, here are playoff games. Here's what the rivalry has looked like. Here's what we know what to do. I think with the Falcons, you have to sort of roll the dice
right
a little bit.
I mean, I can remember Trey White getting an interception there in 17 in the game that was played down there. I hope that's right. I have that in my head. The next thing I think of is Jim Kelly breaking that dude's leg at Rich Stadium in the 90s. So, somebody picked him off, and Kelly, in tackling him, snapped the guy's leg in half. That's it for Falcons Bills memories for me. Like, oh,
you got nothing for the Paul McFadden game?
I got nothing else for anything
else.
Well,
you know, we're a team.
Those are
nothing
those
for
are
Paul it. McFadden?
It's a big gap from, like, I don't know what year this is at. 93, maybe, I'm guessing. 94. That
Kelly?
Kelly, yeah.
95.
It's a famous highlight. You can, if you Google Kelly breaks guy's leg, it'll come up.
Don't do that.
Don't do it. It's not, it's gross.
You can't even really see it.
You can tell, though, I think that he actually, with his arm, breaks the guy's
It's head. Either 92 or 95.
Yeah.
Deion had a big play in one of those games. Yeah, Deion Sanders.
Right.
Paul McFadden, no?
No, I got nothing on Paul McFadden.
Oh, 89. 6-2 Bills. 2-6 Falcons.
This is the old Atlanta Fulton County
right.
Stadium.
That's correct.
I think I can see...
The baseball diamond in the middle.
Right.
Of the field.
Right. Did BB do something in that game?
Maybe.
He's on the team by then, I hope.
He went 1-for-5. Maybe he had a return.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay,
that sure. Maybe he had a kick return, but the Bills still lost it.
The Bills lost at the end. Paul McFadden was the maybe barefoot kicker. He was the kicker for the Falcons, and that was a very annoying loss. So, yeah, not a lot there, but I think Bijan Robinson is... At one book, minus 180 to score a touchdown Monday. Now, James Cook is minus 170 at the same outlet.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be probably like a top – those are both maybe top five numbers in the NFL this week for how likely it is they score. Now, you might have watched Atlanta in week 2 against Minnesota in the Sunday night game against Minnesota, where McCarthy played his way out of the lineup and into an ankle injury.
Mm-hmm.
And Robinson, I thought, was awesome in that game. Never scored. Algier. Game goes maybe to the fourth quarter without a touchdown. So anybody playing first touchdown is pins and needles.
So like 22-6 or something? Was that
something like that was the final.
Score.
Minnesota never did anything. Atlanta got a little bit done.
Yeah.
And looked good in the game, but we might not have thought of McCarthy as... like so much of a liability at that point. But it's Atlanta's night. And Robinson, I mean, who knows? What do you think? Like after Sunday night, so Sunday night comes around and the Bills are giving up 6 yards a carry, but they're number one in the league against the pass. And how did New England do against their defense? Well, they managed. They really didn't run the ball effectively at all. They got in the end zone a couple times with Stevenson after they were set up down there. But it's really May and Diggs that did all the damage, almost all the damage for New England that night. So maybe, like, are we looking at the run defense as like, okay, now everything's – we're not worried about it anymore. Mm-hmm. I think if I'm Atlanta, this is easy. It's Robinson. If I have to go heavy, I will. I'm going to play action to London or Pitts. I might not have Mooney. And these are playmakers. And then I have Algier, who can be, well, some version of, if it's not too recent, Cam Scataboo, where he can kind of just like hammer you. So I like Atlanta's setup on offense in this game. We'll talk to Sal later and see what the Bills have on defense in terms of personnel. But I feel like I might like the over in the game because Allen never gets cheated. I mean, it's, well, the roof is open, so it's not a dome, but still, like, it fast track, if you will. Like, I think Allen will just never get cheated in a primetime game, even against the Patriots, where it came pretty tough for him. He still had two touchdown passes, you know, he still had his runs. Yeah. He was not a bust at all in terms of, like, fantasy points in the game. So I got to think on a Monday night stage, he gets his. But I think Atlanta keeps up. We have Monday for this. I think this Sunday is maybe one of those days where maybe listeners are actually not excited about it necessarily, but they're planning to go apple picking. Because it's their wife's turn. It's not to be, you know, stereotypical or sexist about it, but maybe it's like, all right, well, the Bills have played at night here. They've had three home games in a row, 4 out of 5. Maybe this is that time we sort of sacrifice our football lives
maybe,
and go.
Maybe the slate look of at pumpkins. The schedule maybe even gets you, if you want to just run the sexist thing into the ground here, to the point where the football fan could be the husband or the wife, whatever. The football fan in the couple says, you know, do you want to maybe go apple picking on Sunday? Because they've looked at the schedule and they're like, I'm all
right. Are you looking at the other games first?
Yeah.
That's a pro move.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I'm watching Cleveland and Pittsburgh.
You're like, well, I get credit for suggesting we do something else. I don't need to camp out here. I want to see Lions Chiefs at night.
Yeah, right.
Right. So, you know, do I need to be here for 14 hours today?
What about the Sunday morning?
Probably not.
What about the morning? Denver Jets.
You can watch that while you're packing a cooler and getting ready for your apple picking picnic or whatever.
Some hard cider.
Yeah. I think you can pull that off.
All right.
But
it's very selfless.
1 o'clock. I mean, what are we locally? Brown, Steelers, Cowboys, Panthers.
4 o'clock is San Francisco, Tampa.
Right. And then the night game.
That seems like a day you could live without.
Yeah, you really could. I might even try. I don't know. I mean, whatever.
I might not even try.
I missed most of the week already. Not really. I mean, I missed 2 days out of 5. That's not most.
See, you're back, though. We didn't even need Raheem Morris slander.
Yeah, that's good.
You sound good.
I'm ready to go. I pounded my way through a cup of coffee in that first segment. I'm going to go get more.
It matters.
There'll be a point where that turns bad, probably. But, you know, maybe it'll be after 6 o'clock.
Tune in and find out. Stay with us and see what happens later. Like the high drama. Next, Sam Panayotovich, Bet Sweats. Later, Matt Schauff, Draft Sharks. Especially with no Bills game Sunday, let's hammer out these lineups. Critical juncture in the season, wouldn't you say? I mean, this is when...
Oh, I really feel the heat, yeah.
You really need to start winning and get into that playoff spot or make deals, whatever it is you have to do. Sal Capaccio later as well. Picks at 6. The Sabres are off. They're in Boston tomorrow. Paul Hamilton won't be with us today as he is on his way to Boston, which makes sense. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Football Friday on WGR. Well, it's brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's hometown fuel, game day ready since 1922. We need a break. We'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
sound.
Carpaccio.
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 On WGR.
Welcome back, everyone. Before we do get to San Capaccio, are you ready to take your game day to the next level? Enter online now at WGR550.com for your chance to win a 300 tailgate trace certificate from Alibaba Kebab to feed 12 football fans each Friday. A winner will be announced during Football Friday with Shope and the Bulldog. Fire up your taste buds at any of their three locations. Now, we head to the Western Hotline as San Capaccio joins the show. Sal, Bills get back to work today, but first off, sorry about the Yankees, bud. Sorry.
Hey, it's good talking to you guys. I'll talk to you later.
Hey, I didn't even do it. Zach did it. So
I was actually just leaving the house and thinking about am I going to get some alert today that, you know, Aaron Boone's been fired? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think so, right? I mean, like, this has been many years, and I'm not saying, oh, my God, go fire him. I'm not generally like that. I get it. Like, they do. I'm totally fine with it. But I was just wondering that today. It was a tough one. Listen, I'm disappointed. I'm upset. But, man, like, when you lose to a better team, and they were just a machine. The Blue Jays were just a machine hitting the ball. It's unbelievable. And they got a great outing last night from their bullpen. But overall, they're just incredible on offense. And they have kind of a little bit of a mix of everything that you need, right, with contact, especially contact, but they have some power and, you know, they can run the bases. So they're just, they deserve to win. They were the better team, no doubt about it.
Sal, I will tell you, and this is as a neutral fan, I'm just watching the games. When Dominguez hit the double, though, in the bottom of the ninth, right away I was like, oh, here we go. Like, I'm, and again, neutral wasn't like I was having bad feelings for the Blue Jays. It was more like, oh, here we go. Because it's a guy that it's his first at bat of the postseason. This is what he does. And, you know, they're panning over to Judge, like, only a few more batters away. I was like, stop it. Don't do this to me.
I
was having fun.
I was actually listening or thinking back on words that you said to us yesterday, Sal, of no team is dead between the two of them with how their bats work, that until the game is over, it's not over. And that started off in the ninth, and I'm like, oh, no. Sal's words are resonating with me right now. I'm afraid.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I was glad that Judge didn't make the last out, right? I mean, he's in that it didn't come down to every highlight reel in America shows the last out all the time, right? And I'm glad it wasn't him making the last out because it's Aaron Judge. And he had a phenomenal series, obviously, and here we go, another year of no, you know, World Series for Aaron Judge, and it sucks, but he was incredible. You know, he hit that, obviously, that iconic home run, but it kind of becomes a footnote, to be quite honest with you now, which really sucks, you know, for that reason. So, hey, you know, it's funny. You roll into, you get the final Yankees game last night and then the first Sabres game today, and it just keeps moving, right?
I did think about, like, bringing you in going, like, one season ends and another begins, but I was like, that might be a little mean. But, yeah, now we got this.
No, it's right. It's right, but it's okay. I mean, I'll be at the game tonight. You know, we're going, and I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see the Sabres tonight. I'm excited about, you know, a new hockey season. Everybody's 0-0. You just never know. And, you know, we'll see where it goes. So it stinks. It's okay. I do wonder, though, who I'll be rooting for as the playoffs go on. I have not made, like, a definitive choice. Mm-hmm. I do not, like, despise the Blue Jays or anything like that. It's a nice rivalry with the Yankees. It's like, you know, you hate them in the moment, you know, when you're playing them. But it's very, very hard for me not to like Vlad. I love Vlad. I've loved Vlad since he came into the league. Since he was the Bisons. It's really great. And I know that Bichette has a chance to come back later, you know, but I don't know, because I like the way the Brewers play, and I know it's the other league. And, yeah, the Mariners are fun to watch. I'll root for the Blue Jays over the Tigers. If it's Blue Jays-Mariners, yeah, I'll probably still root for the Blue Jays, I guess, and then we'll see what happens in the World Series.
Just anybody but the Dodgers. That's the key for me. Anybody but the Dodgers.
Yeah, I would agree with this.
Sal Capaccio here on the Western Hotline. Sal, for the Bills, it's been a little bit of a weird week with it being Monday Night Football. So the first practice and the first injury report is actually going to be today. We talked a little bit yesterday. The Ed Oliver Instagram post probably doesn't mean too much, but it could mean he might be in line for either being a full participant or just being on his way to, you know, playing on Monday. It could be a huge boon for the Bills. What else, though, are we looking for today?
Yeah, and I like seeing that from Ed. Like, I think Ed came into this year. We were told by Brandon Bean during the preseason, during a radio production meeting, how, like, much he really loved what he saw from Ed through training camp. Like he said, he had one of the best training camps he's had. And then he carried it over into week one, right, against the Ravens. He was great in that game. But he was great. And he was very disappointed last week when we talked to him, like, just about the injury and not being able to kind of build on week one and just kind of having that setback. So I just think mentality-wise, I'm glad that Ed is ready to rock and roll and wants to get back after it. And he said he wants to be dominant again like he was week one when he gets back out there. I do think it means that he's probably trending in a very good direction to playing. It seemed like he was close last week. We'll hear from Sean McDermott a little bit later today. We'll find out more about Matt Milano. Feels like he's not going to play this week. He was termed week to week. You have one game. It's a non-conference game. Then you have a bye week. So you're probably looking at that. Plus, they did, you know, re-sign Vaylon Specter to the practice squad yesterday. That's probably an indication, you know, linebacker, they're a little thin. I think Dorian Williams is the guy there, though, you're looking more at. You know, what's the situation with Dorian Williams? Is he going to be available this week or not? That's probably the big one we're looking at right now.
Yeah, Sal, when it comes to how the linebacker core is looking and the health of it right now, I am excited, though, to see a little bit more of Shaq Thompson. He's become a sneaky addition with this Bills team through the first five games.
Yeah, me too. I think he's really been a pleasant addition, a pleasant surprise in a lot of ways. Maybe some people thought, hey, he's going to come in and have this role. When he was signed, I thought, depth guy for preseason and training camp, see what he's got, good veteran to have in the room, probably not going to make the team. And then as training camp and preseason went on, guys, I really was like, wow, wait a minute. Like, they're going to have a role for him, I think. And, you know, I had him on the 53, on my projected 53, just from what I saw during camp and preseason, that he was going to make the team, and he did. And he does have a very clear role in this team, and now that role is becoming even more prominent and stepping up, especially with these injuries at linebacker. He's done a very good job. He's very versatile. He can play all three linebacker positions. He's not the same Shaq Thompson he was when he came in the league. He can play like a safety linebacker hybrid. They will put him there sometimes, but he's not the same kind of player. But, man, he still brings a lot to the party when he gets there. And every game it seems like he's making some sort of hit that gets everyone energized. And I think it's very, very beneficial to have him on the roster right now.
Sal, looking around at the rest of the linebackers too, I know we focused a lot on the secondary and even Matt Milano as well in the linebacker room, but another player that maybe has been kind of up and down this year, maybe not totally playing up to the contract extension he got, was Terrell Bernard. As much as, yeah, like Shaq Thompson, you mentioned it, like they're really, it feels like it's been a hit every game where he's gotten going. It's not like Terrell Bernard's been completely silent. He's still got that eye for the ball. He still seems to be around every takeaway the Bills have. But what have you seen overall from his season through five games?
Yep. Hey, sorry, guys. I lost you for a moment there. Just ask me the record you're talking
about. Sal, do we still got you?
Yep, you got me. Sorry about that. I went to a bad spot there for a second. Could you just repeat what you said there? And I
yeah.
Stopped at the beginning of it.
Just Terrell Bernard. What have you seen overall through his first five games?
Yeah, you know, I think that Terrell has had some ups and downs. He seems to make critical plays. Chris Brown called him Mr. Fourth Quarter when he came up with that that kind of clutch player. But I think you want a little more consistency from the through four quarters. And I think when your run defense is struggling, a lot of times you look right at the middle linebacker, and this is not a Ray Lewis throwback type of linebacker. I mean, I love Terrell Bernard and his game, right? No doubt about it. But Terrell Bernard's the kind of linebacker that, you know, he can't just go plug A-gaps by himself at his size. He's going to need some help up front. I think maybe, you know, getting when this team gets Ed Oliver back, and hopefully that's this week, I think everybody's going to be better. And that includes Terrell Bernard behind him. That includes Joey Bosa. That includes Greg Rousseau, because he's going to help the interior of the defense have to be focused on a little bit up front. And I think that will allow Terrell Bernard to do a little bit more. So I think he's got to be a little more consistent from what we've seen through four quarters. But he's still making a few, you know, big plays, and that's what you need from Terrell Bernard, and that's who he's always been.
It is frustrating. I mean, Sal, you mentioned it there too. Like, Ed Oliver coming back is probably going to help out Terrell Bernard, and it's been one of the more disheartening, frustrating, however you want to put it, things about the start of the season. Yes, they're 4-1, but we really just have not been able to see what this defense looks like at its full complement. Of course, with the guys with the suspensions, but even your first round pick is ultimately injured, and we have no idea how that's going to go the rest of the year after his LCL sprain, Max Harrison. It's just we're seeing some of these trades starting to come in, Sal. We saw a corner-for-corner trade last night as well. I just wonder, you know, where the Bills are going to find a spot, if they even want to make a move with not having any time to see how this defense looks all put together.
Well, I know that it's going to sound like, well, that's not really the same thing, but Let's remember they're getting two guys back from suspension, and it is right around, right before the trade deadline. So, yes, I know the team can say, well, or fans can say, you know, this is like a trade deadline acquisition. And it's not, but it kind of is, right? Because they are being added into a team. And the difference is they already know the system. They've been here. They've been working with the team. Talking about, obviously, Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi. I do think those guys will help a lot. I think especially Michael Hoyt. I don't know what Larry Ogunjobi, how much he can help necessarily, because they do rotate and have numbers there and decisions to make. I think Michael Hoyt is going to be a big part of this team going forward. I think they have a big plan for him. They had a plan for him when they signed him. He's going to be able to move around the defense, do a lot of different things. So that's number one. Number two is you do have a bye week coming up after this week. If there are any moves planned by Brandon Bean before the November 4th trade deadline, this might be the week you want to do it. Maybe you get a guy in that he can, you know, really kind of get into the building a little bit early. You're not sacrificing missing him for a game while he's got to be on the active roster. So we'll see. I do think, you know, the team will look to see if they can help themselves at secondary. If they feel they're not going to get any more contribution from Max Harrison or Dorian Strong, but we don't know that, right? That's a big question mark right now. Those are things they're going to have to look at numbers-wise.
Sal, obviously the offense had a little bit of struggles in the New England game, particularly on the ground. But the thing that I'm getting more and more fascinated by through the first five games of the year, though, it's Dalton Kincaid. The guy is playing fantastic, and he's not even getting truly half of the snap share as of late. What has it been like, though, to watch Kincaid grow right now? And could we maybe be seeing more of him actually getting a higher snap percentage going forward?
Well, I don't know about the snap percentage. Mm-hmm. I think that they have a philosophy of how they want to use their tight ends, and it's working out for them. They run 13 personnel, and they run it a lot, and they do it well. And the running game has been very good. Now, it wasn't as good last week, but they're actually better against the Patriots than most teams were against the Patriots. But yeah, I think you got to be careful with that, Derek. Like, it's great to see the ascension of Dalton Kincaid, but maybe part of the ascension is that he's not having all these snaps. And he has to do all these other things, right? Like, part of it is you're keeping him fresh, and when you need him to do different things, he can be on the field. So I wouldn't rush to just say put Dalton Kincaid on, because the more he's on, the less maybe Jackson Hawes is off the field, right? And you could say Dawson Knox too, and that's fine. But I think the Bills have a good philosophy of how they're running it. I don't know if anybody's really eager to just start upping everyone's snap counts, because he's been really efficient. I think that part of the efficiency is the amount that he's on the field.
Sal Capaccio here on the Western Hotline. Sal, last thing for me, has nothing to do with the NFL. I don't know, though, did you see the Bill Belichick reports from yesterday from Ollie Conley? His buyout of $1 million, they may be heading in that direction.
I did. I mean, you're talking to a guy who's not that surprised.
I know.
I was the first on this train years ago, and sorry, but I've been wrong a lot in my life. It's one thing I've been pretty damn right about, and that's that Bill Belichick is not the greatest coach ever, and he had Tom Brady with him. And yes, he's the most accomplished coach ever, and there is a difference between that. And when he got the job at North Carolina, my first thought was, this is not going to go well. Like, he is not suited for the college game, and he's going to want all this control, do all this stuff, and think he can run it like a pro program, and he can't do that. And now look where they are. It's an embarrassment right now what's going on at UNC, that they have to put out a joint statement between the AD and Bill Belichick that they're on the same page, and they're clearly not. I mean, allegedly, he's getting, like, investigated by the school itself for recruiting violations. Mm-hmm. And you know what that means, right? They're looking for a reason to not give him his buyout.
And that's the funny thing. It's a $1 million buyout. That is one of the cheapest buyouts in college sports. Deion Sanders is 33.6. Steve Sarkisian at Texas is $60 million.
You know what? Who's the Mike Norvell? No, it's not Mike Norvell. DeBoer.
$60 million. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was over $70 million when the season started. It might be 60-something now. It's crazy, right? Like, I agree. I said it years ago when you know, they were still winning. He is a great, great defensive mind. He's a great football mind. But his success was largely and mostly due to having Tom Brady. Now, I will tell you, I do think Tom Brady needed Bill Belichick. I think they were great for each other. But Brady went on. He still won. But he probably doesn't become the person he is without, and the quarterback he is without Bill Belichick. And I think Brady would tell you that. But this is not a surprise to me. And when he got the job at North Carolina, my first thought was, this is going to end poorly. And I kept saying, now, granted, there's no guarantee this is going to happen still, and it might still backfire because Syracuse's quarterback is out, and they're not that good right now. But I just kept thinking, I cannot wait to see Fran Brown beat Bill Belichick. Like, yeah, that would be amazing. And I still think it could happen, even with Syracuse's situation. Well,
and that's the thing, too. It's one of those things. Don't look at their record. North Carolina's 2-3. Their two wins are against FCS opponents. Their three losses against FBS opponents, none of them close. I mean, they are just getting run over by anyone that has even similar standards of athletes to them. But it's going to be something to keep an eye on over the next few weeks. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen immediately, but it does seem to be trending in that direction.
I mean, they play, Syracuse and UNC play Halloween night at the Dome. Okay? And I don't know by then if Bill Belichick's even going to be the coach of the Tar Heels.
Yeah, honestly. It's going to be something to keep an eye on. Sal, though, before we let you go, schedule for today, you did mention Sean McDermott's going to speak probably here pretty soon with the media.
Yeah, he'll be talking a little before noon, and we'll get an update on injured players' participation today. And then the injury designations for the game won't come out until Saturday this week, guys, so we won't have that like we normally do on a Friday. It'll be Saturday this week.
All right, sounds good. Sal, we'll let you get ready for practice then, and we'll talk again soon.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
All right, Sal, thank you.
Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. We'll also be talking with Paul Hamilton coming up in about 15 minutes at 11 o'clock. Get ready for tonight's game. Let CRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. Contest does end January 4th of 2026. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today. 803-0550, the number to call. You want to give your thoughts on tonight's opener for the Sabres. You want to talk Bill Belichick? I'm happy to do that. I think it's one of the craziest things I've seen in sports in a long time. It's embarrassing on all fronts for everybody. Or you want to talk Bills? Love to hear your thoughts as well. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
So the offense is there, yes, no J.J. Paterka, but the addition of Norris and Tage Thompson right off the draw. Another win by Norris of the faceoff dot. And he rips that one in to make it 3-1.
This reminds me, make this request on the air. Dan Dale producing. When Chris Brown comes on Wednesdays, or sorry, Wednesdays, what day went? Mondays and Fridays, right? Could I have missed that by any more? We got to lead him in with Van Halen. I heard him talking yesterday on One Bills Live.
Driving
around, just rocking to Van Halen.
Okay,
so we got to deliver some Van Halen for Chris Brown on our Football Fridays and Football Mondays. Well,
this is not Van Halen.
No, this obviously is Motley Crue. Kickstart My Heart.
Yeah. All right.
It is time. The Thursday night game. Remember we used to bet what celebrities would be in the stands? We got to bring that back, too.
Yeah. Well, what do you got tonight? New York?
The Ted Danson game. Must return.
Where is that guy? Come on. Give me a Ted Danson appearance somewhere. His most likely stadium is L.A.
Yeah, that's probably right.
New York.
Famous,
you're going to get...
Famous Giants fans?
Aaron Judge.
Hugh Jackman.
Would he... He could show his face today. Yankees lost, but he was great.
I got Daniel Radcliffe as a famous Giants fan and George R.R. Martin.
Hmm. Don't think we'll see him tonight.
No. Nobody's seen him in years.
No, he's working on his book for the last 10 years.
Yes, that's right. Which, by the way, did I see a new series is coming out in that universe?
Yeah, there's supposed to be a Jon Snow series coming out.
I thought they tabled that and there's something else coming out instead.
Oh, I don't know.
All right, we'll delete this part of the show in editing. On to the Thursday three-way parlay. Each of us hits a leg.
We can include the hockey game, I believe.
That's right. And
listen, I've got a line from it that I do like tonight.
All right, well, it's not necessarily calling someone out so much as it's just saying, like, Owen, you know, two in a row, we're right there. So you want to lead us off? You got a good vibe? Like you're due.
You're due. I am as due as they come over here. I like, you know, if you want to fade me on yours, you can. I like the over on Saquon Barkley receiving yards. It's only 16 and a half. He's gone over it the last two games. He caught like a 35-yard touchdown pass last week.
Okay.
He could go over on that in one play. So I like Saquon to go over 16 and a half.
Okay. All right.
I like that. Over 16.5 receiving yards for Saquon Barkley is the pick. For me, I'm going to go with Jackson Dart over on rushing yards over 35.5. He's rushed for over 50 in each of the last two games. He's running everywhere. That's not just scrambles. They're calling designed runs for him, too. Brian Daboll with a quarterback that's all about vibes and playing with his hair on fire. Like, you're going to call some rushing plays for him. So Jackson Dart over 35.5 rushing yards to go with it.
All right. I'm going to throw a hockey line in here. Sabres and Rangers tonight. I'm going under 6.5 goals at minus 130. The Sabres are going to want to play that style. Shesterkin in net. I know he got chased twice last year, but he's still one of the best goalies in hockey. So I got like a 3-2 result being very likely here. 4-2 even gets you home with an empty netter.
Okay.
So I'm going to go under 6.5 for tonight's hockey game.
All right, there it is. Barkley over receiving, Dart over rushing, Sabres under 6.5.
Plus 479 is what I got for us.
Nice little modest one.
Yep.
Try to get one on the board here for us.
Got
to
hit one of these eventually here.
Is the Tage Thompson hat trick bat coming back for for the big guy?
I'm hammering it. I know that. He's out of it. He's been out the last 2 days. He's sick, but I'll definitely get on him. Make sure he gets that in there.
Yeah. What are we looking at odds on that? It's like so Sabres to win, right?
Yeah, Sabres to win,
and Tage to score a hat trick.
Hat trick. If you want to juice it just a little bit more, you can go Dahlin for a point or assist too. Because if Tage is scoring three, probably one on the power play, probably one that Dahlin gets a touch on. So
okay.
That's always – I like to add in the Dahlin point.
All right, Tage to score three or more. If I don't add Dahlin in, I'm already at +5,768.
All right. Yeah.
Which would be 10 to win 576.
I mean, he does that bet every night, and you hit it once he puts and it 20 pays bucks it off. On it, and you lose every one but one, and you're, like, breaking even.
Yeah.
So it's a good – it's out there. It's there to be had.
All right, the Tage hat trick bet.
I'm definitely putting one in.
No thanks.
You don't want it?
Not tonight.
I'm also
you throw Dahlin to get a point. It doesn't even go up that much.
No,
it only goes up to 6,042.
Yeah, it doesn't do a big thing because it knows like with those other
bets. It's all game scripts. Yeah.
Yeah,
like you pick a Tage hat trick with under 3.5 goals scored. Like that's big because he would get the only three goals.
Yeah,
that's very unlikely.
Well, let's see who's passing him the puck.
Josh Norris.
He's a goal scorer. It's interesting. They looked so good together because I was wondering about that. Like, are they going to mesh well? Are they going to have chemistry? Because they're both shoot first guys. Like both of their best seasons, they're generally going to score more goals than they have assists.
Yeah.
And Benson is more of a playmaker, but he's not like at a level yet where you're expecting giant numbers.
Yeah, he's not going to distribute 45 goals to those two guys.
But it might not matter. I mean, Tage and Norris looked fine together in the preseason, so the fact that they both are kind of shoot-first guys might not ultimately matter.
Do you want some instant trivia?
Yes.
Off of the back of our Thursday three-way? Here we go. Instant trivia. It's going to be Bills-Falcons this week. Josh Allen has thrown passes to five, by my count, former Falcons.
Ooh.
Or players that have played for the Falcons, the Bills and the Falcons. Josh Allen has thrown passes to five pass catchers that at one point would have played for the Atlanta Falcons.
I already have one name because I know the Bills traded him there, Lee Smith.
Correct.
Yeah.
They traded him to Atlanta.
Exactly.
How about Ray McLeod?
Correct.
I almost stopped because I didn't remember if he made it to a regular season.
Right.
Okay. Falcons.
I never think about the Falcons, ever. I don't know why. They're one of those blind spot teams for me.
Ray McLeod in 2018, 5 catches on 6 targets.
Okay.
Efficiency.
Mm.
Should I make sure that those were not the Derek Anderson games? Because he didn't complete any passes.
You could double check if you want, but I think that's it's probably right.
Mac Collins.
That is correct.
Good.
Mac Collins is correct.
Okay.
Ray Ray McLeod caught a pass in the win over Minnesota. So, yeah, that would be from Josh Allen. One catch for 6 yards.
They signed Devontae Freeman, but I don't think he never played for the Bills. So that's not right. I feel like these are going to be early receivers.
Yeah, it's got to be, right? Because nobody's like, coming to mind recently.
Did Andre Holmes play for the Falcons? Andre Holmes.
Not Andre Holmes. Are you thinking of someone else?
Maybe.
Somebody in that vein?
Andre like around Holmes. That same time?
Andre Holmes played for the Bills in 2018 briefly.
Like rookie Josh we're talking about here?
Right.
Like Zay Jones never went to Atlanta. He went to Arizona. Deontay Thompson? No.
2019 and 2020, this Bills receiver caught 7 passes.
2019,
everybody 20, eats. This guy ate 7 times.
7 passes. He was here for 2 years and yes. He only caught 7 passes?
Yes, that's right. He 19, had a 20. He had a different job.
Oh, was, Andre Roberts.
Andre Roberts is correct. So you've got...
Who I only remember, all the return stuff. The only thing I remember is he like had a perfect pass thrown to him, bobbled it up in the air, and the Titans right. picked it off on a Tuesday, yes. in which they started off a blowout.
You're missing one more.
Atlanta.
This is a little tougher, but you can definitely... I mean...
It's not like a lineman, is it?
It's not a lineman. No, it's not a lineman.
Tight end, maybe, then, I'm assuming.
The way he said that, it's not a receiver.
Right. Or running back, maybe. Running back.
It's not a running back.
Fullback.
Fullback.
Ah.
DeMarco.
Patrick DeMarco.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yes. And it wasn't the one that he threw 50 yards down the field to him in double coverage in overtime of a playoff game.
Yes.
It wasn't that one?
Not that one.
He caught
played,
other
he
passes.
He, of course, played for the Falcons, too. So those are your Bills. Josh Allen targets that
to
also
the Falcons.
Played for the Falcons.
All right.
Yeah, the Falcons, like, they've always had fun receivers, haven't they? Even before Julio.
Roddy White.
Roddy White and...
Andre Rison.
Yeah. Aldry Crumpler wasn't a receiver, but I liked him as a kid.
Good name.
Yeah. And then they go right into Drake London.
Yeah,
he's really good.
He's very good.
He's awesome.
Roddy White's the name I was thinking of, though. Roddy White was great.
Roddy White,
I
yes,
loved
he was.
Roddy White.
If
he was awesome. He is so underappreciated because he's not a Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah. Tony Gonzalez there for a little bit of time. Michael Jenkins.
Forgot about that. Like, Roddy White had 1, 2, 3, 4. He had 6 straight 1,000-yard seasons in which he had at least... Well, he had 1,200 or more in all but one, which he had 1,153. Like, he was unbelievable.
Was Roddy White Colorado State? Why do I feel like that's... Where do you go to college?
No, Birmingham.
UAB. Birmingham. Okay, same colors. Like, green.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm giving myself that win.
We'll remember some Falcons tomorrow.
Yes.
Warwick Dunn.
Ooh.
There'll be some good ones.
Steven Jackson. Jamal Anderson, of course.
Yep.
Anyway, there's one player I'd be worried about matchup-wise for the Bills in this game. I mean, Bijan Robinson is a big deal. You got to get him on the ground. The Bills are not good at tackling right now. Drake London worries me less than Darnell Mooney.
If he's healthy.
Yep. Yeah. If Mooney is ready, and I got Mooney against Trey White. Like,
he's fast, and he gets open. He's a separator.
Yeah, he's a very. I think he's a nice player. And London is good, too. Very good. I mean, better overall. But Mooney, just like as a matchup, if he's healthy, I'd be worried about it a little bit.
Well, we'll find out today. Because he got hurt before the bye week, and the idea was that he wouldn't miss time, but they didn't have an update earlier in the week. So, we'll see, because if he doesn't play, I think the guy that goes in is McLeod. Ray McLeod goes in, I think, which is not as threatening.
803-0550. Extendo Sports on the way, and the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.